Welcome once again to the radio broadcast that's put on by the Independence Baptist Church, which is located at 124 South Main in the city of Forestell, Missouri. The times of our services are Sunday school beginning at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning, and then at 11 o'clock is our Sunday morning worship services. And then Sunday evening at 3:45 is our prayer service, and then at 4:30 is our evening worship. Then our Wednesday evening worship services began at 7 o'clock. So you're welcome to come to all these services, and I know that you'll receive a real blessing from being in the services of Independence Baptist Church. I know that you're wanting to worship God, and so we invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. In the meantime, we have two websites that you can also get on. This is first one will be at independencebaptist.org. On this website are many outlines of the Bible, and many messages are on the audio format. And so if you want to go to there, you can listen to all of those. Also, there's another website you might be interested in. That's sermonaudio.com/IBC. This also has many of our sermons that are preached at the Independence Baptist Church. You know, Independence Baptist Church has had this radio broadcast for many years. And during this time, it's been fully supported by the Independence Baptist Church. We have never taken donations for the radio broadcast because our people have a great interest in getting the truth out into this world. This enthusiasm that the people have has not diminished in all of these years. We are very interested in helping you become more familiar with God's own holy word. We are very interested in you being true to God because you have an eternal soul. Eternal judgment is coming, and we want to do everything we can do to help you be prepared for that day. This is why that Independence Baptist Church, for these many years, has had the radio broadcast. We are very interested in you. We want you to know just exactly that. This morning, we want to continue in the message we began last Sunday morning concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a wonderful, wonderful Savior to us. He is actually God incarnate in the flesh. When we speak about God being incarnate in the flesh, we're not speaking about reincarnation. Reincarnation is the idea that a living being starts a brand new life in a different physical body or form after each biological death. You see, we don't believe that. Incarnation literally means that Jesus Christ left the portals of glory and came down to this earth, taking upon himself the form of man. This is exactly what Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth. He was with his Father before he took on flesh, and then he came and dwelt among men. The Bible makes this very clear that Jesus Christ loves men so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for them. But Jesus Christ did not remain dead, because Jesus Christ is now living because he was resurrected from the dead. He was seen of many people when he was resurrected from the dead, and now he is in heaven with God awaiting us when we're going home to be with him. Now, think about Jesus Christ and the way that he came into this world. It was necessary that he be incarnated, not reincarnated, but it was necessary that Jesus Christ be incarnated. The reason for that is that it was necessary that he endure bodily suffering if he was to suffer as man's substitute. Jesus Christ is our substitute. And he suffered bodily, showing that he was able to do all of this for us. It was necessary that Jesus Christ have a body and that he was tempted in all points, like as we are tempted. Jesus Christ can be touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Understand that that is so, and that it's good for us. Jesus Christ has done all of this for us. But it was also necessary that Jesus Christ come in the flesh, and when he came in the flesh, that he rendered a perfect obedience to the law in order that his righteousness could be given, or that is, imputed unto us. You see, the righteousness imputed to us through faith is not the righteousness as the personal attribute of God, but it is the righteousness wrought out by Christ in his earthly life. This is indicated because the righteousness imputed to us is described as being by or through faith in Christ. This is what the Bible says in the book of Romans 3, verse 21 and 22. The Bible states here in this place, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ," notice now, "unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." It is by us having faith in Christ that we have the imputed righteousness of Christ delivered unto us, but not in the flesh. This is imputed unto us in the Spirit only. We can have the righteousness of Christ freely gives to us when we believe on him for eternal life. It is not by any good work that we have ever done, or any good work that we're trying to do, or any other good work that we will do. You see, salvation is a gift of God. It is not of righteousness, lest any man should boast. There will be no bragging in heaven except bragging about what Jesus Christ has done for us who did not deserve anything whatsoever. Therefore, you see, God gives us his righteousness. It is not by our righteousness that we are saved at all. Rather, it is through and by the righteousness that only God can give unto us. Notice in the book of Philippians 3 and verse number 9, the Bible says here, "And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is a law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now, some people believe that if they're good enough, they can go to heaven. But that's not the truth. You see, it's only when a person realizes that there is no good about them whatsoever, that they trust in the living God, that God can save their unworthy soul. You see, the Bible says in Philippians 3 and verse number 9, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You see, even the faith that we have to believe is a gift that God freely gives unto us. This is what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse 9. This is the way it is. You see, we are saved by the grace and help of Almighty God. It is not by anything that we have ever done, anything that we plan to do, that we are saved. Rather, Jesus Christ has freely given unto us this great gift of salvation. And he does that because he came into the world and he lived a perfect life. He died a perfect death, and he was raised in perfection as well, because Jesus Christ has done it all for us. Think of this. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is also necessary to his ministry of teaching, his selecting the 12 apostles, the establishment of the church, and his setting for us an example of perfect obedience to the will of God. These things are things which God saw could be best accomplished by one in the flesh. Therefore, the incarnate Christ was sent to accomplish them for us. We could not do it on our own. We needed Jesus Christ to wash away our sins. The proof of all this is what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, and this is revealed to every believer when they are saved. Even some lost people know that only Christ can save their unworthy souls. You see, lost people are unable to forgive even themselves of their own personal sins. Any person, however, that comes to Christ desiring salvation and asking Christ to forgive them of their sins will be granted their request. We are unable to do anything at all except by His grace to ask Christ to forgive us. This is the way salvation is. Jesus Christ came to a people upon this earth that were lower than the angels. And He loves us. Why does He love us? The only thing I can tell you is that the Bible says, because He chose to love us. That's all I know. There's no good about us at all. But by the power of God, He has saved our unworthy soul. The incarnation of Christ is a mystery. It's incomprehensible to this finite mind that we have. This is a supernatural phenomenon. Hence, it is necessary that the supernatural virgin birth of Christ is shown to us in the Scriptures. Notice here what the Bible says in the book of Matthew 1 and verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now believe it or not, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Now you might ask me, how do you know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin? You know why I believe that? Because the Bible says it. The Bible says in Matthew 1 and verse number 18, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And so I believe it, not because of some external evidence, but I believe it rather because the Word of God declares that that is so. Look again in the book of Matthew 1 and verse 23. The Bible said here, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 1:28 is a quote from Isaiah 7 and verse number 14, which states, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, this is the sign that the Lord gave. He said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. I'm glad that we have the Bible to prove all of these things. This is a sign that's given to us that Jesus Christ is from God. Notice in the book of Luke 1 and verse number 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing that is begotten shall be called the Son of God. When Jesus Christ is called the Son of God, that means that Jesus Christ's Father was God. You see? Jesus Christ did not have an earthly father. I know today that people say, oh, a Roman soldier was the cause of all that. That's not true. God the Father was the cause of Jesus Christ coming into the world. And the final verse is in the book of John 1 and verse number 14. The Bible said here, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The very Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. The birth of Jesus Christ is miraculous. But let us beware of pushing the miraculous element so far that we destroy the reality of Christ's human nature. You know, this is the thing, that Jesus Christ was God, but he was also flesh. He walked among men. He was tired sometimes. He got hungry sometimes. This is his flesh that did all of these things. Think about it. What did the miracle of Christ's birth really consist of? It did not consist of a miraculous creation of Christ's body, nor of an immediate birth, but it was merely the conception in the womb of Mary. At least, this is what Matthew 1 and verse 20 states. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Luke 1 verse 31 states almost the same thing. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." There is every evidence that the body of Jesus Christ in the womb passed through all of the various stages of development, just as the bodies of other human beings do, and that he was carried in the womb of his mother for the usual period of 9 months. At least, this is what Luke 1:56 and Luke 2:6 declare. It is quite plain that the miraculous element in the incarnation consisted of a virgin birth, a supernatural birth, a birth never before recorded and never again will be recorded. The scriptures prophesied that Christ would come one time upon the earth, and one time he came. Thus, the human nature of Christ was made a normal human nature, but nevertheless, completely sanctified and preserved from every taint of sin by the implantation of deity. What a wonderful thing this actually is, that Jesus Christ came into the world. And he was God before the worlds were ever created, because Jesus Christ is God. Now, somebody would say, "I'm not comprehending all of this, because it seems to me that the scriptures say in John 4 and verse number 6, that Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, set by the well." Well, that's true. Jesus Christ in his natural body became wearied and needed to rest. But deity, that is God, cannot be wearied in anything at all. I know that God created this earth and all of the heavens. The Bible says that he rested on the Sabbath day. But he was not tired as men are tired. He rested to show us that we also need to work 6 days a week and then rest on the Sabbath day. Think of this. When Jesus Christ was on the cross dying for the sins of the world, he was in his fleshly body, but he was also deity as he hung there on the cross. This is why that Jesus Christ, as God, bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. This is showing us the power of God through Christ as he was hanging on the cross for us. He didn't die for himself. Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins, and there he gave his life for us. He showed us that he was well able to take care of our own sins because Jesus Christ took care of those on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ did not stay dead, but Jesus Christ arose from the dead by the power of Almighty God. You see, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. This is what the Bible says in the book of Galatians 4 and verse number 4. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was born of a woman. He came into the world by a natural means, yet he is the only begotten Son of the living God. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 and verse 6, for there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You see, the Bible says very plainly here in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and verse 6, that there is only one God. There is also only one mediator between God and men, and this man is Jesus Christ, who offered himself a ransom for all. This is the one that we are preaching about. We are not declaring our own righteousness. Rather, we declare the righteousness of Christ, who loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were unable to love him in return. He gave us, literally gave us, the free gift of salvation. We didn't deserve it in the least at all. It cost Jesus Christ his precious blood that he shed for us on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus was here upon this earth, his body and his human nature were in all respects exactly like our own, except that there was no taint of sin in him whatsoever. He was the flesh of our flesh and blood of our blood. The Bible states here in the book of Hebrews 2 and verse number 12, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Hebrews 2 and verse 14 makes this explicitly clear, that Jesus Christ came upon this earth and he took upon himself flesh and blood, just like we have flesh and blood, and he was killed. It was prophesied beforehand that he would die. But you see, the death that Jesus Christ died was a perfect death because he didn't have any sin at all. Jesus Christ died that we might have life. On the human side, Jesus Christ was a real Jew. It was a bona fide, real, true Jew. We are plainly told that he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh in Romans 1 and verse number 3. John 7:42 states, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Acts 13 and verse 23 states this, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised up Israel a Savior, Jesus. In the book of 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 8 states this, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. We could go on and on with the passages that talk about the preciousness of Jesus Christ and his perfection and all that he's done for us. You see, these physical characteristics of Christ were those of a Jew. And thus, the Samaritan woman recognized him as a Jew in John 4 and verse number 9. Then Jesus freely acknowledged himself a Jew in John 4 and verse number 22. So Jesus Christ, it was plainly to be said that he is a person, that he is real, that he was a Jew, and that he died on Calvary's cross for our own sins. But not only did he die, but Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He was victorious for our sake. Not for his, but he was victorious that we might live unto righteousness and truth and be zealous of all good things that he has for us. You see, we should be just as zealous in maintaining Christ's humanity as we are in maintaining his dignity. You see, it was against those who denied the total humanity of Jesus that John wrote in the book of 2 John, verses 7 through verse number 11. He shows that their error was just as fatal as the error of those who deny his deity. Listen, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is the only one that can ever wash away your sins. No one else can. As shown in the preceding discussion of the incarnation, it was just as necessary that Jesus Christ be man as it was that he be God. Notice what the Bible states here in the book of 2 John, verses 7 through 11. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which he hath wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bid him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. The Bible here makes it very, very clear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm glad that he is, because I could never save myself. I am a worthless sinner. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that I have anything at all to brag about. And I don't brag about myself. I brag about my Savior, who gave himself on the cross of Calvary that I might have eternal life. I'm glad for that. You know, today, if you're lost, we urge you to trust not yourself, not your works. Don't trust being baptized. Don't trust joining the church. Don't trust any of your good works. Rather, trust the good works of Jesus Christ. And what was that good work that Jesus Christ did? Listen, what Jesus Christ did was that he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, not for his. And Jesus Christ was buried in a rich man's tomb. But Jesus Christ didn't stay there very long. Only 3 days and three nights. And then he came out of that grave. He was victorious over death, over hell, and the grave. Our hope is in Christ, not in what we have done. Our hope for all eternity is in what Christ has done for us, and not what we have done for him. We're trusting Christ and Christ alone. We pray for you that you might come to the same place in your life to trust Jesus Christ alone. We thank you for listening to this radio broadcast. We pray that it's been a blessing and help to you in your life.